presents Curse of Strahd, a spooky adventure for D&D 5th edition. Episode 10. We've only lost two people so far. In the previous episode, our heroes found a tavern, which to Ehriman's great disappointment is not featured in the camera guide. But they do make a new friend in the shape of Ismar Kolyanovich, the son of a recently deceased burgomeister, whose home has been under siege from Strahd's minions. He persuades our heroes to escort his sister, Irina, to a nearby town for her safety. As we rejoin them, they are about to head out to the Kolyanovich mansion.
Okay, so Ismark leads you out of the Blood of the Vine and moves up to the next sort of crossroads. You can see that there's a bit that goes kind of northwest that heads up towards the church that you noted earlier. But he's going to take the way that's down to the south. We're going down to the south, and at the end is the Burgomeister's mansion. It's probably not where you can see it. I don't think you need to move all the characters down there at this point. So, here's the description. A weary-looking mansion squats behind a rusting iron fence. The iron gates are twisted and torn. The right gate lies cast aside while the left swings lazily in the wind. The stuttering squeal and clang of the gate repeats with mindless precision. Weeds choke the grounds and press with menace against the house itself. Yet, against the walls, the growth has been tramped down to create a path all about the domain. Heavy claw marks have stripped the once beautiful finish off the walls. Great black marks tell of the fires that have assailed the mansion. Not a pane nor a shard of glass stands in any window. All the windows are barred with planks, each one marked with stains of ill omen.
This place looks promising.
Yes.
I'm a bit worried about those claw marks. Can I run a nature check and see if I can see what they are?
Sure. Roll away.
I think I clicked it. Hang on a minute.
Yes, you did. It's 20.
I did click it.
That's beautiful.
Very nice.
Yes, I got a 20, although not natural.
And there's that squeaking noise again.
It's my mouse. It's my mouse.
Ah.
That's what's making a squeaking noise.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Right. Two ticks. I'm just going to go and get my work mouse.
Okay. We will stay as we are.
Given the tenor of the sound, I couldn't tell whether she meant literal mouse or... It's like it could really go either way here.
Well, we do end up with mice in the house occasionally. It's usually the cats have brought them in and then lost them.
Oh.
Well, usually what happened earlier in the week, actually, Lilo spent almost an entire day sat in front of the wine fridge and the sort of chest of drawers thing we've got in the kitchen and just sat there staring at it all day. And so you knew there was something behind there. And then the next morning I woke up and found a dead field mouse in the hall. So she obviously must have got to it eventually.
Did I hear you correctly? A wine fridge?
Yes.
You have an entire fridge for wine?
Yes. And beer.
You don't?
We actually got one mainly on the grounds that we don't have a very, very big fridge.
Just for tea. Fortunately, I did not scald myself, but I'm
going to
be...
Oh, okay. Did you hear that?
Kind of.
Sort of.
Yeah, so Penny has... Just be a pause for a couple of minutes because Penny has spilt her tea.
Oh.
Luckily, she did not spill it on herself, so she has not scalded herself.
Ah, good.
What was I saying? Yeah, so basically, we don't have a very big fridge. So if you try and put sort of an open bottle of wine or a wine into cool or something, it takes up a significant chunk of the available space. So a few years ago, we decided to get a small wine fridge, and that died very quickly. So then we went for a slightly more expensive one because it do last slightly better. Mm-hmm. Consumer electrics are ridiculous for how quickly they die these days. There's no excuse for it.
I want to get a mini fridge for my room, and it's shaped like a Borg cube, and it lights up, and I want it really badly. But ThinkGeek doesn't sell it anymore, so...
Oh, man.
A Borg cube.
Yep.
mind free. Yeah, I could go for that.
And that would be like perfect. You could put like, you know, all the stuff that, you know, you really like, and you could really say that resistance is futile.
Exactly. And just...
Oh dear. I think you could actually get a bonus thing as well. You could get a little enterprise model to sit in front, and you could have red wine bottles instead of the nacelles.
Phew! That is awesome. I want that now.
I need to find a person who can put that together.
Actually, I'm not sure it's a terribly stable shape for putting bottles in. So it's really not designed for proper surfaces.
Oh, a bottle of wine on each side and a pizza on there.
Pizza for the saucer and then wine bottles for those cells. Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh my gosh, at my next party, I am making that. Like I ever make a party.
Then just to part up the middle, part up the middle with a couple of beer cans in it, just in case.
We used to have something called a bachelor chair that Penny inherited from one of her relatives. And it was a sort of straight back chair. Mm-hmm. It sort of padded back and wooden sides to it. And in one side was a little mini bookcase, and the other side was a thing for putting a bottle of wine and a glass in.
Nice.
That's amazing.
Nice.
Eventually, we didn't have room for it, I think. Mm-hmm. And it was slightly falling apart, and we passed it on to a friend that could make use of it.
Jane disappeared. But there's a dog in her place, so it's a win-win. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. I love you, Jane.
That's a pretty dog right there. Jane, I meant to ask, is that a poodle?
Close. He's a Bichon Frise. So they're sort of
Bichon
like
Frise.
Oh. Mini poodle, etc. And then...
they're a little attention horse. Yeah.
And then the other dog, the taller black one, is some kind of hound. We're not sure exactly. He came from the Humane Society a couple months ago. So
I remember the picture you posted on it. So he's doing pretty good.
Yeah, he seems to be doing all right.
And the two of them are getting on okay?
Yeah, they play like brothers, right? So cheerful and playful and occasionally, like, you know, a little snarly, but then they're back to being cheerful and playful. So.
As dogs do.
Hey, and we got to spend some time with Jane in person a couple of weeks ago, which is very nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
We do exist outside of the screens.
Right.
Whatever. You're lying.
No. We are not imaginary internet people. We are real. After all, would imaginary internet people spill almost an entire mug of tea just because they put it in front of their keyboard and then they move their keyboard forward to try and unplug the mouse? They wouldn't be so stupid, would they?
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to laugh at you, but I was kind of laughing at you.
It's okay. The tea is not that hot. So while the carpet up here now definitely needs cleaning, which it did anyway, I did not scald myself. Unlike the time Snowy stood on the placemat on the edge of the table and flipped the full cup of coffee that was on the other side of the placemat entirely over me.
Ouch.
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
No. Although I didn't actually get burnt, but it was, you know, freshly made coffee.
Mm. Yeah.
So it was a waste of coffee. And that was decaf.
Unlike today.
Okay, I'll be honest. I have just realized after lunch I did have a double espresso.
Oh
my gosh, when did you
now it comes out?
So I had a double espresso. And then on the way home when I was feeling sleepy, I had a cappuccino.
Now
I thought it was a bit odd that the cappuccino was having quite that much effect.
Oh my goodness, girl.
But now I've had food, and that's mopped up the alcohol. Caffeine.
I'm not sure it works like that, but never mind.
Well, it works like that with alcohol, sort of a bit, although not for legal purposes. Yes.
Food definitely helps, for sure.
So, yeah. I'm back.
Okay, so you had just rolled a 20 nature.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that the footprints are not animal prints. Apart from, well, see, it's a mixture of wolf paw prints and human paw prints.
It was the claw marks I was looking at, my lovely.
Oh, sorry, the claw marks on the walls. Yeah, so they look like they might be made by some sort of canid creature.
Okay, folks, those claw marks over there
They were made by something in the dog family, and I don't think it was a Labradoodle. I think this might have been one of the bigger ones, possibly more towards the wolf end of the spectrum.
Right. I look at Ismark. Wolves?
And Ismark kind of looks back at you and said, you could have just asked. I'm right here.
Sorry. In my village, you're expected to try and figure these things out for yourself first. Is that not the way you do it around here?
Well, you could have asked and I could have told you to work out for yourself.
That would have been rude.
No. Actually, his voice went then, didn't it? No. So didn't I say when I told you we were under siege, it was werewolves and ghouls and zombies.
What? Oh, my. No, you did not say. How convenient.
Oh, no. I thought I did. Oh, well, sorry about that. Hello, Lila.
He has a cat with him.
Tiz kind of gapes a little bit at this, like, werewolves?
Oh, yes.
Zombies?
Really?
Yes, there's a lot of werewolves around here, I'm afraid. It's part of the joys of living in Strahd's domain.
Cathar is the only lycanthrope I've ever met.
She was a lycanthrope?
Wait, what?
Did you all not know?
No.
She used to be, I think she was a were-boar. I think that's what she was. She was cured of it a long time ago, but I don't know. She always seemed different after that.
Lena just sits there giggling with her rock.
Well, to be honest, if somebody's had an unfortunate medical condition and then been cured of it, then one doesn't normally discuss such a thing.
No.
True.
So I can understand why it didn't come up.
I thought you were going to say, if you've had a serious medical condition and it wasn't your fault, then cool.
Mama said Quince LLC.
No, Mama said hasn't seen those kind of mm-hmm. Man. The reception up in his tiny village is rubbish. And the broadband speeds are appalling.
And now I'm kind of wishing I would have actually spoken to Catherine a little bit more. Maybe we'll learn a little bit more, too.
Mm. I did know that as the DM. I just kind of forgot it because it hadn't really come up.
Well, that was Ehrman saying, you know, I wish I would have spoken to her a bit more. Mm. I don't know if she would have said anything, but, you know.
You know, she wasn't the friendliest ever.
She was a bit gruff, yeah.
When she came to temple events.
Okay, so you're outside the house and... This is where I'm terrible at naming. And Ismark knocks on the door that has a hatch on it that is heavily barred from the inside. After he knocks, the door opens and a face peers out. He can't see terribly clearly at this point. And you hear a woman's voice say, oh, it's you. You seem to have found some help. Wait a minute, I'll just open the door. And the door is opened and you can go inside.
Help may be a strong word.
Sorry?
Never mind. Just musing.
Are you talking to your rock?
Maybe.
I'll look at Simeon and I go, see, another time where knocking first does help.
Nice school bus.
For our listener, Alton is waving a slightly annoyed finger at this point.
I will just lift my chin a little and walk in.
Does he trip over anything?
So you are met as you enter by a striking young woman with long auburn hair who you understand is the aforementioned Irina. The interior of the mansion is well furnished, yet the fixtures, like everything else that you've seen so far in this domain, show signs of great wear. Noticeable oddities are the boarded up windows and the presence of holy symbols in every room. The Burgermeister is in a... I'll come back to that. The Burgermeister is in a side drawing room on the floor, lying in a simple wooden coffin, surrounded by wilting flowers and the faint odour of decay. What I was laughing at is I've just realised what it actually says is Burgomaster, which isn't even a good translation. And I've just been saying Burgermeister automatically. Okay.
So y'all left him here like this?
Irina looks at you and says, well, I don't know who you are, but yes, we want to take him for a proper funeral at the church, but nobody from the village wants to come and help us. They're all too scared.
Oh, so you haven't had the funeral yet?
Oh.
No. We've had the funeral if there was a body still there.
No, I'm sorry, we didn't, you know, earlier we heard of the sad passing of your father. Yes, indeed. Condolences, Marshal
Kuttner. Irina gives her brother the look that sisters give brothers throughout time. You didn't tell them. Typical.
Ed didn't tell us about werewolves, didn't tell us about ghouls, didn't tell us about your father sitting here decaying in the middle of your sitting room. Yeah.
But it's summer and we're running out of ice.
This is times when I wish I had our other DM Ben's deadpanness. I wouldn't waste so much time just giggling.
Time spent giggling is time profitably spent.
Tiz, did you say something about funeral rites in your area of study? Tiz?
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear my name. Yes, I am learning about funeral rites. I've done a few recently. I can probably assist.
Well, Irina says, well, thank you. That's very kind of you. And the problem is not so much with the service itself. It's just getting the body up to the church. It's more than the two of us to transport it, and we just can't seem to get anybody to help. Can I get you all to make a perception roll, please?
No, because that's scary.
Hey, it could have been worse.
Hey.
Could have been initiative.
17. Ooh. Yes.
And I've got a 4.
I got a 12.
Oh, dear. Marmoset has a 4.
I'm focused on the decaying body in the middle of the sitting room.
Boy, that's a natural 1.
I'm focused on the ice chips surrounding the decaying body in the middle of the sitting room.
Okay, so Lena.
Yes.
As you're standing there talking to Irina, you can't help but notice, just peeping up the top of the high collar she's wearing, a couple of small puncture wounds.
What is, if you don't mind me asking, are you okay?
Well, it depends what you mean by okay. Why did you ask? My father's been killed and has died, and he's sitting there unburied.
Terrible, terrible. I'm not talking about emotionally, though. More around the physically. Are you ill? Are you okay? Do you have any strange bite marks?
That's so subtle. She kind of, without even thinking about it, sort of puts her hand up to the marks on her neck. Says, oh, those. Before we closed the doors to him, we did actually have a couple of visitations from Strahd. Seems to be weirdly obsessed with me. I really don't understand why. Apparently, I don't remember what happened at all myself, but why are you all giggling?
Medicine, Arcana.
Nope. Sorry. Oh, Penny!
Buffy reference in the
yes.
chat.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Caius, you're wanting to make an Arcana check.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or medicine, whichever one would fit.
I would go for Arcana.
Arcana. Which was a 12.
12. You look at it, you can see that there obviously it was made by teeth of some kind, but nothing really beyond that. But Irina carries on explaining. She says, the thing is, I We think that for some reason he's trying to get me under his influence, but thus far it hasn't worked. And now we've got him trapped out. He can't actually get inside the house. But the villagers don't believe this, and that's probably why they are so reluctant to help us in a time of need.
Didn't the shopkeeper Bilgerat mention that this Strad person was a vampire?
At this point, Tiz will use her channel divinity to turn undead.
Okay.
What, you mean she becomes undead, or she...
No.
She uses the ability turn undead. So each undead that can see or hear me within 30 feet of me must make a wisdom saving throw. If they fail, it's turned for a minute. They basically have to move as far away from me as they can.
Okay, so you cast this, and Irina goes a sort of shade paler than she already is, and looks slightly uncomfortable, but no more than that.
Does anyone else react to the, like...
My spell save DC is 13, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ishmark or any servants in the vicinity?
There are no servants. There's only the two of them. And no, Ishmark makes no reaction.
And the coffin doesn't move.
No.
Okay, but so it doesn't seem to have taken effect on her.
No, as I say, you can...
Okay, so I say...
Can I ask you, make a wisdom roll for me.
Straight wisdom?
Yes, please.
Nice.
15. Yep, that's fine. So your conclusion from seeing the effect on her is that obviously she is slightly affected by her encounters with Strad, but she is still human.
She's not undead.
She's not in any danger of turning or anything like that. It's just... She'd just been affected enough for it to make her feel slightly uncomfortable, but no more than that.
Tiz sort of stops, like once it's done or whatever, and says, "Sorry, just checking, you know, precaution. Carry on."
That's understandable under the circumstances.
Do the rest of us know what just happened?
Not really. Sorry, just saw Lilo's tail go in front of your screen.
Yes, because Lilo has just walked from...
Probably not. I mean, no. You just saw me. I think what happened was I presented my holy symbol, which you would recognize as being the same as on Cather's urn or whatever. Present my holy symbol and started like chanting something. And then she looked kind of weird. And then I said, "Okay, just checking," and then that was it. Like that is what that is what you guys saw. I don't know if a light shines from it. I don't think it gives a description. But
okay, really though, are you okay?
Why doesn't every can everybody apart from Tiz make an intelligence check? Actually, no, an Arcana check. Beg your pardon.
Arcana.
I got a 5.
I got a 16.
Woo!
16 from Darius, a 20 from Ehriman, and a 19 from Penny, from Armaset. So the three of you have sort of think, and you've got a pretty good idea what's actually just happened. But Semyon and Lena are kind of puzzled.
I go over and I just am poking the dead body. Looks rotten.
Can you roll a medicine check for me? Right. Well, it's dead.
Yeah.
That's as much as you know.
With a 5. Yeah. It's dead, all right. I'll tell you that for sure.
At this point, Irina turns to her brother and says, "Who have you brought into our house? They don't seem very bright."
Can't talk to Jeffrey like that.
She grabs hold of her brother and takes him into a corner to have a whispered conversation. There's obviously a certain amount of gesticulating and waving hands, and that's two things that both mean the same thing, but you know what I mean? And slightly terse.
How would one eavesdrop? Can I eavesdrop?
Yeah, sure. That be perception, I guess. Perception makes sense, I think.
17.
Yes, you can hear enough to work out that they're basically that Ismark is trying to persuade her. So yes, I've talked to these guys, and they might be able to use them to sort of escort you out into a safer place. And she's going, sort of, are you sure? I'm not sure I'd trust them to lace up my boots. No, it's fine.
That's not unfair. Yeah.
Sort of muttering, you know, you're just getting this general impression, not the exact words. It's sort of, we don't have a great deal of choice with the people around, have you noticed? And so after this goes on for a little while, they come back and Irina sort of gives you a sort of half smile, slightly through gritted teeth. When do you stop that, Rick? I'm sorry, Rick has been miming, grinning and stroking her rock for our listener. So I understand from my brother that we might be able to come to some sort of arrangement for an escort out of Barovia to somewhere a bit safer.
Yep.
We will certainly try our best to get you safely out of here. We've had a few encounters already in this town, so we're hoping with the experience that we've gathered, we could help.
Yes, that's all. We've only lost two people so far.
Shh! Don't mention that.
Well, three, but we found one.
Well, yeah. In some ways, you could say we found two.
I think to be fair, that Lena kind of found herself. I don't think you can claim any part in that process.
I found her. I walked down the street and found her.
See?
I mean, you know, we've got about an 80% success rate. That's not too bad.
I see. Well, that is very noble of you and kind of you, but I'm afraid I really can't leave right now.
Why not?
We understand with your father, but this is...
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, young man. Your name, sorry?
Oh, I apologize. My name is Ehriman.
Ehriman, thank you, Ehriman. Yes, yes, very perceptive of you. Yes, I'm not leaving here until my father has been safely buried.
Okay, folks, here we go again.
Okay.
Where and how would you like him to be interred, sky burial? What do you like?
Well, there's the church on the top of the hill, and that has its own graveyard cemetery, and there's a spot that belongs to our family in the cemetery, not a crypt as such, but an area that our family has always used, and so we would like to take his body to be buried in the family plot.
Why isn't the church helping you? Don't they have people that help with this?
Are there any funeral directors in town? Do we need to roll for insurance policies?
What is this funeral director that you speak of? I don't understand.
Oh, I read...
Never mind. I'm sure it's not important. No, the church is, like so much in the village, is very... It's very run down, and now there is only really a single priest. There's no staff as such, and to be honest, he hasn't quite been the same. And since his son disappeared a while ago,
this place is a nightmare.
I was going to say we can't get involved with everyone's son. I mean, can't some of them sort their own lives out?
Look,
everybody you look at in the town has a little question mark or exclamation mark. Yeah. it's fixed to their... It's a little loop around their head made of wire, and this little ceramic question mark sticks.
It's like Byzantine depiction of God with the like gold like physical halo.
Yeah. Not really. I'm just kidding.
Tiz, could you like conduct a funeral?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I'd be happy to do that.
I could help with like the getting the body
you know, the carrying stuff. I mean, we don't have to dig, I assume. Do you have, is this a crypt locked? Is there a key? Do you need your double WD-40? Anything like that?
I said there's not a crypt. Oh, it's just an area of the graveyard. And, yes, I don't. Obviously, she says slightly sarcastically, well, obviously, we didn't know my father was going to die in the past few days. So we don't really have, you know, a pre-dug plot prepared. So, yes, there's a chance that we might need a little bit of help in that. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you'd like to ask for help nicely, we might be prepared to give it. Says Marcel, who is getting just a little bit sniffy, because Marcel has, you know, is aware that they blunder a bit, but has been offering genuinely to help.
Yeah.
And has done their best to express, you know, like what the words is, the condolences thing sees. And she's sniffy. And not in a I'm sniffy sad because my dad died, more like you are scum and I don't want you in my house. And Marcel reaches down, picks up a bag of back guano from around their neck and sniffs it to check that it's still effective and that they still smell a nice, good, decent back guano.
Tiz sort of turns to Marmoset and says, they just lost their father and they're under siege from the Count. Mm-hmm. I feel like we can just say we'll do it.
Yes.
Rather than argue about it.
But with zombies going around, do we really want to go to a graveyard?
Well, as long as it's daytime, it won't be bad.
Well, being quiet while all that's gone is, Mark sort of pipes up and very enthusiastically says, oh, it'll be absolutely fine during the day. No need to worry about zombies during the night. And to be fair, since my father sadly passed, we've kind of been left alone. Really don't know why.
So if you have such thing as a cart, we can begin transporting your father to the graveyard.
While you've been talking and considering this, it has actually got a bit later in the day. And Ismark sort of says, under the circumstances, what I said about darkness, I think it may be an idea if we leave this till morning. Let's all have something to eat and we can make up some rooms for you so that you've got somewhere to stay during the night.
So that insight role was meant for the it'll be perfectly fine like during the day, like you don't have to worry about any zombies, but this sounds very sketchy to me. This guy.
You believe from listening to him talking and that spiffing roll.
That 20.
It was a natural 20 on my insight.
Yep.
Listeners.
Yeah. He's telling the truth as far as he knows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh my.
Okay.
Okay. So is there anything particular you need for your funerary rites for tomorrow morning that we need to do any preparation for now? Or should we go straight for food and rest and so on? And
food sounds amazing.
I'm guessing sometime after dawn?
I mean, obviously, see, we already have a coffin. It's I know it's not the best, but it's all that the two of us could put together with what we could find. We, as you can see, we now have no staff of any kind, and so we had to do the best we could, just the two of us. Other than that, everything that's required should actually be at the church.
Okay.
Sounds good. Then
sounds like a meal is in order.
Yep.
Now, obviously, as it's been made clear to you that it is now just the two of them in the house, seems that they haven't been able to keep any servants since Irina's almost turning, or attempted turning. It's going to be a fairly sort of basic meal and whatever they've been able to throw together, what's in the larder. So, you know, still reasonably fresh bread, cheese, pickles. Think of it as sort of a ploughman's lunch or equivalent. And it's obvious that it's just been sort of brought together out of what they happen to have around. But it's perfectly good food, and there's a reasonable amount of it between you. So it's, you know, it's probably the best meal you've had for the last few days, better than anything you managed to put together over a basic campfire.
I say, this is really nice cheese. Mm-hmm. Oh, where do you get it?
Well, at one time, until fairly recently, we did actually have... We had a small holding outside the village, and, we raised our own dairy cattle, and you know, we had people that worked for us that made our own cheese.
What happened to them recently?
Well, Strahd's people killed them all, of course.
Excuse me, did you say dairy? I thought there might be some sheep and goats cheese. I'm afraid I'm lactose intolerant. Which was the privy?
She gives you a look as if to say, I've no idea what you're talking about, but the privy's that way, and points in the direction.
Mama said dashes off, and maybe some time.
Well, that means more cheese for me.
Learned a little bit more.
What are you drinking there, Rick?
Nothing. Ooh. A Black Butte porter.
Ah, another porter drinker.
Yes.
Which porter?
Black Butte.
Oh, by Deschutes?
Yeah.
I had a, the brewery is Belching Beaver Brewery, which I laugh about every time. I know. And the beer...
You know this point.
The beer is a peanut butter chocolate milk stout nitro, I think.
I've had that, actually.
It's very sweet. Yeah, it's good.
Actually sounds really good, though.
It's all right. I mean...
It's very sweet. Like, if you want very sweet beer, it's very good. Which I do.
I like hearty beers that you can drink for lunch. Yeah. And that's your lunch.
It's got peanut butter.
It's dessert in a bottle. But I enjoy the way that, like, a properly bottle-conditioned nitro turns out. You pour it hard, and then...
And then it settles, and it's so pretty!
I know. It's nice. It's a nice texture. It's very creamy.
Yeah, so I was trying a couple of BrewDog varietals last night when I was here by myself, and I have to say, Penny, you can skip the grapefruit and mandarin, I think it was, flavoured one. It was really, did not taste of anything very much at all. It was kind of less tasty than if it would have been if it had been a fizzy bottle thing, and really didn't have any beer flavour either.
Oh dear.
It was fairly disgusting, to be honest.
Bad.
The other one I had was quite nice, though. I can't remember what it was now. Much darker thing. Jane, you're looking tired. So after you've eaten, there's obviously a spot of washing up to be done. I don't know whether anyone wants to help your hosts out with that.
Oh, me. I'll help. I'm sorry about earlier. Yep. Let me help with washing up. I've returned from the privy. I'm fine. I did wash my hands.
I'll definitely help with that.
Tiz will also offer to assist.
Okay.
Well, do we sing the Whistle While You Work song?
Tiz will do the, like, clearing the table and bringing stuff in and, like, help with, like, wrapping up food or whatever. That kind of...
So that keeps you all occupied for a little bit. And by the time you've finished sort of preparing, eating and cleaning up afterwards, it is very definitely dark outside. Well, thus far, it seems to be a fairly quiet evening. There aren't any more noises outside than you would normally expect from a village at night. Though you do notice that you don't hear voices at all. So where in a normal village, you know, there might be people, you know, coming backwards and forwards from the pub or going to visit neighbours or things like that. There's none of that. It's obvious that it's almost like a kind of self-imposed curfew. That once it gets dark, everybody just shuts themselves inside their own houses.
Okay.
And so...
It's quiet out there.
And so with... I'm sorry?
Gosh, it's quiet out tonight, says Mama said.
Yeah, do we hear anything?
Nope, it is just extremely quiet. No noise of anything moving about outside. So it seems that thus far that the truce or whatever that has happened since the Burgermeister was killed still seems to be holding. There's no sign that the house is going to be attacked tonight, thus far. So Ismark gathers you all up and sorts out some rooms within the mansion that you can use. It's a moderate sized mansion. Obviously, there's a it's the sort of place that normally would have maybe five or six servants and probably a full sort of three generations of family kind of living there. So there are plenty of rooms for you each to have a separate room. You notice the same as everything else that you've seen. It's just all a bit sort of musty and tired looking. It's obvious that, as you know from the outside, all the rooms are have their windows sealed up, so there's no ventilation of any kind. So all the rooms are slightly on the stuffy side. But you know, the quality of the beds and the bedding and that is absolutely fine. It just, everything looks as though it'd be greatly improved by being taken out and just aired outside for a while.
Okay, Marmoset takes Ishmark aside and says, given the state of what you've been through and the house and everything, do you need us to like stand guard outside your sister's bedroom or you know, I'm quite happy sleeping on the floor, actually. It's a lot more comfortable than the mountains I normally sleep on. So, would you like that? Would your sister like that? Would it be offensive?
That's a very, very kind offer. I don't think it's really necessary. I think all the protections on her room is already there. However, if you want to sleep out on the floor outside of her room, he emphasises.
Of course. We don't do things like that in my village. I understand.
Then that would be entirely up to you. But if you wish to, you feel free to go ahead.
Oh, sure. Oh, by the way, do I smell garlic or do I not smell garlic?
Oh, you definitely smell garlic.
Oh, good. I was just going to say, if I didn't smell garlic, I was going to offer garlic, but that's fine.
Is it just Ishmark that's walking with us, or is Irina also walking with us a little bit?
Irina is still downstairs in the main part of the house at this point. So he hasn't checked with her whether she's amenable to these arrangements or not.
I would mention to Ishmark, your sister had mentioned that things started to calm down after your father passed.
Yes.
Is there any reason why it would have, just off the top of your head, is why it would calm down after your father's passing?
I don't really know. I can only think that it's a bizarre sort of respect, I suppose. I mean, I know it seems rather out of character for Strahd, but that's the only thing I can do to it, like, I can think of to account for it.
I know that Strahd, from what I've gathered, praise on this village quite a bit. But is there any connection between Strahd and your family other than, of course, Irina?
Not that I'm aware of, no. I mean, our family has stood for the Burg in some role or another of generations. So obviously, you know, all modesty aside, we'd be considered one of the more important families in the village. But we were not sounded out in any particular way until fairly recently.
Does your house have a small library in it?
Oh yes, if you go back downstairs and if you just go past the room with the body, about three doors, take the door on the left of that corridor, then there is a small, reasonably pointed library in there.
May I?
You're very welcome to go and take a look if you like.
I will go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there... Oh, your camera's gone out of focus. That's really weird. Yay! Oh, I can still see you. That's better. So, is there anything in particular that you're looking for in the library?
Anything on history of the town, history of the... Actually, history closer to maybe like the burgomasters of the town. See if there's anything that...
Okay. That's an interesting idea.
Oh, sorry, folks. That's Lilo purring right into the microphone.
Okay, so...
It's cool. I had to mute for dog barking, so...
Well, it's nice to prove that Lilo is actually alive, I suppose. So, would you like to give me some investigation rolls, Ehriman? Say, give me three.
Okay. So the first one is a 19.
Nice.
Second one is a 13.
Nice-ish.
And the third one is a 22.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so your observation of the library is that in comparison with other libraries that you've visited in other towns, you would expect to see more local history, family histories, that sort of thing. While that's not completely missing from the library, you would normally expect the sort of headman of a village to have more local information than this. Having said that, you do find out some information. You almost find out more by reading between the lines of what's not there. There is almost nothing about Strahd himself in the books that you look into. There's a certain amount of the history of the village, but as I say, it's nothing in great detail, but there's nothing about the building of Castle Ravenloft. There is nothing about the history of the area outside of stuff that seems almost in the past rather than anything. So there's nothing very, there's definitely nothing recent. Everything from your own time point seems to be a couple of, several hundred years ago, at least. And the information is that, this was it's just a small local village, nothing really unusual. It was starting to grow a little. The church was built relatively recently before the history starts. So there was obviously a feeling that this was a village that was starting to build, just starting to grow. Probably would have been a town eventually if it had been left alone. But a few hundred years ago, you can't really tell an exact date or anything. It's almost like the history came to an end. And there's nothing new, no new information. Yeah. Okay. In fact, do you want to give us a quick wisdom roll? Yeah. Yes, please. Okay. Right, there's no additional information you're able to glean. I was thinking that there might be some things you could put together, but not with that role, I'm afraid. Okay. So the rest of the evening, what's left of it, passes uneventfully, and you all retire to bed, apart from Marmoset, who insists on lying down in front of the door once Irina goes to bed.
Yeah.
You notice before that happens that there's another one of those slightly irritated whispered conversations between brother and sister, leading with a kind of roll of eyes from Irina as she goes into a room. You can't help but notice that on her way in, she's getting a couple of wads of tissue and is poking them up her nose before she goes into the room.
Is she grabbing hold of a pomander perhaps some room spray? Extra strong perfume. Marmoset didn't think about that. Mm. Well, Marmoset think Marmoset smells fine then. Nice, healthy smell of back guano.
Who doesn't love that?
Oh, and actually, in a very sotto voce conversation, Semyon has agreed that if Marmoset's going to do that, Semyon's going to do a little bit of patrolling the windows and doors downstairs.
Okay.
Yep. Heavy crossbow in hand.
All right. Mm-hmm. So despite everything you've heard and all your fears, the night passes perfectly peacefully. I'm sure under the circumstances, maybe some of you didn't sleep as well as you might have done. But I don't think anybody's lost any hit points or anything like that. But you can assume after having a couple of quiet nights, both out in the woods and back here, that all your hit points back up, all your hit dice are back to normal. You've had at least two nights, possibly three nights sleep since last you had to have a fight. So I'm just going to say that everything's up to full again. And morning breaks. Sorry?
I just apologise for breaking the morning.
And you can see what little light leaks into the house. It's the same sort of grey and dull and misty as you've come to expect as normal from here. So you are all preparing, after a small breakfast, you're all preparing to get ready to escort the family and the father's body up to the church. And as it is now after 9:15, I'm going to suggest that's probably a good point to stop.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
I won't be able to stay for the after chat. I'm going to have to split. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Hi, Alden.
Okay.
Okay.
Hugs to the family.
Yep. So sorry, Alden's had to run, but for everybody else, you'd like to do your normal goodbyes. So in the order they now are on my screen, we start with Caius.
I'm Caius Wickersham. I've been playing Darius.
Who's had a very quiet day today.
Yes.
Rick.
I am Rick, playing Lena Random and also Jeffrey, your tiefling weirdo.
Okay, Penny.
Hi, I'm Penny Hill. I've been playing Marmoset, who's been just a wee bit overexcited.
Josh.
Hi, I'm Josh, and I've been playing Ehrman, the tiefling sorcerer.
And finally, Jane.
Jane, or Celador 10, and I've been playing Tizril, or Tiz.
Okay, and I've, as usual, been Chris Bookzombie Hill. I've been your DM, and we look forward to your company next time. Goodbye.
Yes, goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
How will our heroes get a body to the church? And what will they find when they get there? Find out in the next episode of Curse of Strahd. Bookzombie presents Curse of Strahd starred Caius as Darius Talvinar, Penny as Marmoset Quince, Jane as Tisriel Forgeflame, Alton as Semyon Anatov, Rick as Lena Random, Josh as Eremon, and Jeffrey the Rock as himself. The DM was Chris Bookzombie Hill. Music and artwork was by The Sleeping God. This was a Bookzombie Presents production for Welcome to the Party. If you enjoyed the show, please do like and subscribe. Follow the links below to Welcome to the Party's Twitter feed, Twitch stream, and Patreon account.